And hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the HITECH Annual Report Workgroup. We're back. We are pleased to welcome everyone back as well. And I just want to note that we have two new members on the workgroup, Madel Briggs-Melanson, who is serving as one of our co-chairs, and Elia Oliveira will be joining us shortly as well. I'd also like to welcome back Stephen Lane and Jim Durgis and Brett Oliver, who are with us today as well. Aaron Meary is continuing to serve as one of the co-chairs, but he is unable to join us for today's call, but hope to be back next time. Public comments are welcomed, which can be typed in the chat feature of Zoom, or they can be made verbally during the public comment period later in our meeting. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Madel, who will kick us off. Madel?
Thank you so much, Mike, and it's a pleasure to be with all of you all today. And so this is one of our first new working meetings for the annual report work group meeting. It's an honor and a pleasure to serve as co-chair with Aaron, who, as Mike mentioned, is unable to be here today. But it's also such an honor to serve with so many of our other HITECH members who have been part of this work group meeting. So I'm looking forward to working with each of you all and learning also so much from your expertise as well as our new members. And so why don't we go ahead and get started and just go over an overview of the agenda. So next slide. Great. And then in terms of call to order or roll call, Mike, would you like us to go through that? I think Mike stepped away. Oh, okay.
I'm here. I was just on mute. So of course we have our co-chair, Madel Briggs-Melanson, Stephen Lane, and Brett Oliver are here, and we're hoping that Elia Oliveira will be joining us shortly. Great. And Jim Durgis is here as well. Did I catch everybody?
I think you did. Thank you, Mike. One of the next things that we'll do in terms of the meeting agenda, we're of course doing the greeting and introductions, and then we'll go over some of the discussion of our work group plans. We actually do have many of the meeting times as well, just so that our entire group is aware of those future update meetings, not only we as a work group, but also presenting back to our larger HITECH committee. And then we are going to go into discussion of the potential topics for our HITECH annual report. And then, as mentioned before, we'll open it up for public comment. Next slide. And next slide. Great. These are, of course, all of the work group membership, as well as the ONC staff that is part of this annual work group. And so, as mentioned, we have gone over some of our current members who are both returning and new. And then we also have all of our ONC staff as well, which we're incredibly grateful for. Next slide. Great. So just as a brief update of what we were able to accomplish from our fiscal year 2021. So some of the completed steps that we did, of course, HITECH full committee approved the final report that many of those on the call were able to contribute to significantly. That report was then transmitted to the National Coordinator for Health IT, and then the National Coordinator forwarded that final report to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, as well as to Congress. Next slide. So now this is all of the great events that we have in store for us this upcoming year. So this is an overview of the meeting schedule for the work group. Of course, today is July 28th, in which we are going to review the list of topics for fiscal year 2022 and annual report. And then we will continue to meet on relatively a monthly basis, where we're going to continue to really kind of define the crosswalk of topics, similar to the same process that we've done in previous years. Then a overall draft will be presented and developed in November. And then that draft will then go to the HITECH for review. And we hope to then update that final draft in terms of making it into a form report for HITECH approval, and then our anticipated date for it to be completed and transmitted is February through March 2023. Next slide. And this is also a schedule for the full committee as well. And so the full committee meeting, all of our various different reports back up to the HITECH itself. And so once again, you see that we're gonna meet just about on a monthly basis and discuss this report, with having December be one of the dark months where we will not be meeting. Next slide. So, in terms of the work plan for the annual report work group, for this report, this is once again another overview of what was previously discussed in the slides that you saw beforehand. But it goes a little bit more into detail at a high level what we plan to do. Next slide. Next slide. Thank you. So before we jump into the potential topics, I want to pause here to see if there's any additional comments or additional questions about what the timeline will be and also what we're going to be doing during the upcoming months. Okay, hearing no questions, then we will go ahead and jump on into the topics for review. So what we're going to do is bring up the draft list of the potential topics for this upcoming year's annual report. And we have three primary questions that we would like for all of the work group members to think about and reflect upon. And those three questions, and they just flipped off. Are we able to bring back up that slide one more time? Just to go over those three primary questions. Thank you. So the three primary questions are there any questions or comments about the draft list? Are there any additional topics that should be added to that draft list? And should any of the topics be removed from the draft list? So those are the three primary questions we want to make sure that as we're reviewing the topic list today and in the future meetings, that we ensure that we address. So thank you. I think we can bring up the draft list of all the potential topics. Excellent. Now, my eyes are a little old. Is there any way that we could just magnify it just a bit? Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. So in terms of all of the work group members, again, this is the list that was actually sent out prior to this meeting. And it does have all of the various different topics that were recommended from the HITAC. And in addition, at the very bottom also has some of the various different topics that were included or suggested for us for consideration as well. And so what I propose that we do right now is just at least go through each one of the topics today, really see if there's any additional pieces we want to add to any of the topics, or if some of them may not be relevant. Really going through those three questions. So I just want to pause before we jump in. Any other ideas or approaches of how we want to go through all of these potential topics? Great, and thank you so much, Stephen, of mentioning that. That what we're going to do is ensure that we also include privacy and individual control of sensitive health data. Yes, absolutely. So let's move through each one of these, and would love to hear everyone's feedback. If we think that these are still topics that have a green light that we should continue to move forward with, we'll go ahead and we will determine that. So the very first topic here was dealing with public health illustrative story. And so the description of this was the public health illustrative story could be enhanced to address the current needs of public health. And so this was covered in the fiscal year 21 report, but it was thought that we may need to expand upon that. So just want to open it up for discussion, what we feel about this topic and if there's any modifications that are needed.
Hey, it's Jim Georges. It seemed like right after the pandemic or during, there was a lot of prioritization still is around public health. So my question would be, as part, if we were to recommend continued focus on that, I know there's a lot of different organizations within HHS that are working on it. And would this more be getting report outs from them and then HITAC making recommendations for next steps, or what do we think the HITAC committee's role in this particular row would be?
You know, I'll comment, Jim. I mean, I think that there, and I'm sorry, I'm going to take public exception to your language after the pandemic. Where I live, that time has not yet arrived.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
the phases thereof. Anyway, but I mean, clearly the pandemic has given us the opportunity to think long and deeply about the challenges of public health interoperability and the data needs and unmet needs that we have. And there, you know, there's so many people who've become involved in this discussion. There is, you know, potentially funding and programs going forward. I frankly don't remember what the illustrative story was. You know, telling stories is great, but I think that there is an opportunity, I believe, for HITACH and this group, you know, as a part of that, to weigh in on and contribute to the energy around advancing health IT generally and interoperability in particular for the various public health use cases. I know there have been other work groups and task forces that have focused in on that. I don't recall, you know, sort of where all of that work is at this point. I mean, so a lot has been said, but I think it may well be appropriate for our report to include a section on public health and how the HITACH can support that going forward.
Mm-hmm. And Jim and Stephen, I cannot agree with you all more. In fact, some of my thoughts and comments were exactly along the same lines of, number one, what is the illustrative story? We know that this is an essential need, but what we really do need is not only interoperability between the public health systems, but even the interoperability between the public health systems and the provider systems. Because one of the things that we have greatly realized during this endemic now is that we have to be able to exchange information between all of the entities that are collecting this in order to provide the best care and oversee the best outcomes for patients. So completely agree with the two of you all, but really emphasizing the importance of that integration and interoperability between all of the systems for not only our current state, but in preparation for future issues. I mean, we're already dealing with monkeypox right now. And so this is going to be continue. So we should be prepared for it.
And another thought, go ahead.
Oh, and thank you for saying the record straight that the pandemic is in fact over, as she said, and is now an endemic. So thanks for rescuing me.
I actually haven't heard the endemic used as a noun yet, so I'll credit you with that one, Miguel. The other thought I had is, you know, clearly ONC is involved in advancing the TEFCA. This group has not, I don't believe, done a lot of specific focus on TEFCA, but clearly public health as a use case in the TEFCA. And as we look forward to supporting the advancement of TEFCA over the coming years, I think there again, there's a touch point there.
Yeah, Stephen, I would agree. To me, it seems like there's so many different people working on it that a good use of HITACH would be to, you know, summarize and have in the report kind of an update on where things are, and then making sure that the designs that are being pursued actually make sense for providers and each of the constituents. So I would agree.
Great.
So then from an historical perspective on the annual report, we've added illustrative stories around most of the topics. I'm not sure I really understand that as a separate topic per se, public health as a topic, but the story, we've tried to add you know, a little vignette to each one of them, each one of the major topics historically over the last couple of years.
I think last year and the year before, part of the story, I remember, you know, for example, I remember guys that for example, because HCA is in 22 different states, part of the illustrative story was just the story of the variability in the public health department's capabilities technically, as well as the expertise and the variability of interpretation of all these interfaces, right? And so what I take illustrative story to mean is, you know, telling the story through the lens of the people who had to try to use the data and how it didn't work and what so that the approaches and policy can help standardize that more and make it easier on providers. Yeah, for example, the one to many, you know, we had 22 states all at different interpretations, 22 interfaces to test, babysit, 22 different queues to work rejections. Those are sort of the illustrative stories, so that the people defining the solution actually are solving the actual problems that are brought out in the story. Did you guys have a different?
Yeah,
No, I like the principle. I just meant the principle that we were trying to apply it throughout the annual report on the different topics historically. But
Oh, I see.
A perfect example, though, Jim. That was perfect.
Great. So it sounds like we're all in agreement that really emphasizing the importance of these public health systems and especially the interoperability in order to be integrated with providers and help to drive the care and support the care, but then using those stories as an example of why this work is important. And most importantly, during the HITECH annual report, trying to bring together and highlight the work that's already being done so that we're not redundant. Is that about right in terms of recapping this discussion about this topic?
Yeah, I would state it similarly. I would just say that get an update on, you know, the status of efforts around public health reporting, and then ensure that the illustrative story that the approaches that are taken are going to solve the key problems that the illustrative story brought out.
Great. Okay. And so there may need to be a slight revision of the topic itself, since the illustrative story is like a topper. So maybe that's something that we discuss in the future once we sort of solidify some of the different thoughts around this topic. Okay, any other thoughts about this topic, or is everyone ready to move on to the next one? Okay, let's move on to electronic laboratory reporting. And so again, the description, as everyone sees here, to improve the use of terminology standards in electronic laboratory reporting, there are three areas of inconsistency where ELR terminology appears to be the least variant. There are also variations in the use of HL7, V2 syntax. There was increased alignment on the federal standard to start, but then deviations in already common data, or as COVID reporting identified, varying approaches emerge for additional data that could be part of the ELR, or where it should or could be done the same by all. So this was also an area underneath public health, but it was covered in fiscal year 2021. So just opening it up for a conversation on if we think that this is still a highly relevant topic to include in the annual report, or if we have some revisions to it.
As I understand this one, this is electronic lab reporting. Part of what we learned was the variation in terminologies and people using their own mnemonics and not necessarily converting those to link codes, for example. And I think I testified that we interact with 220 some labs that do COVID testing, and zero of them reported their test results to a national standard. Is that what this is talking about, guys? Is how you align people to do better at standardizing the terminologies?
Jim, I'm interpreting it that way as well, that we just do not have the standards or haven't enforced those standards.
Yeah, that's what I remember the discussion being surrounded. I would think we still have the same issues, unfortunately.
Well, I think we should, because we even opined and made recommendations last year, did we not, Stephen and Brett and others? About, you know, for example, we said, why not use nationally existing infrastructure like TEFCA? You know, we even postulated, you know, using a QHIN, having a public health QHIN where that intermediary could become expert at, you know, helping to ensure everyone's using those terminology standards and solving the one-to-many problem. And so to me, it seems like this would be definitely a priority in the report to get an update and then advise on how to incentivize people to adhere.
Yeah, I don't see ECR included in this document, but I think that electronic reporting generally does warrant our continued attention. Oh no, yeah, we've got we do have EICR. Sorry, it's the next one. It was EICR, not ECR. But yes, yeah, so yeah, I think both of these topics really do belong here still.
All right, so it sounds like this is, of course, still a priority for us to highlight in the report. Any other comments on ELR? And we can go on to EICR next.
Okay. Yeah, I think the key with the electronic case reporting is this is very focused on long COVID reporting, which of course is an opportunity, but ECR generally has a lot of room for improvement and standardization. Again, I'm not sure, you know, I guess the question is what belongs on this list? Obviously not everything of importance belongs on this list.
Well, Stephen, to your point, this one seems very niche and focused. So if there was any that of the first three that we might take off the list, I was thinking that it's overly focused on just the long COVID, unless that's just an example of the broader EICR issue.
Well, that's one of the things that I wanted to bring up to this group. So long COVID is by far very niche, just very focused. But one of the things that we've learned is the importance of making sure that we do have EICRs, and especially with all the new emerging diseases that we continue to see. So should this still be part of our priorities for this report of, again, preparing all of our systems in our country for how to address these types of public health occurrences in a standardized way so that we can provide better exchange of information and better care. So I have this as less of long COVID. We may be able to scratch that, but really making sure that we're reinforcing the appropriate approaches for optimizing EICR for anything that comes our way.
ECR, generally, yes.
Great.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, you had governments during COVID mandating that you report it electronically. You spend all kinds of resources getting that set up and ready to go, only to find out your state can't accept it, from a technical perspective. That hasn't changed in a lot of places. So I would agree with maintaining it as a priority, but I would agree with you that we should take the long COVID part off and just make it EICR.
And I'll point out that California may yet be able to accept this by the end of this year.
You're ahead of me.
We're working on it. All right, wonderful. So it sounds like both electronic laboratory reporting as well as electronic initial case reporting are still priorities that we want to keep on the list to focus on.
And again, just for terminology, EICR refers to the CDA document that is used to support the electronic case reporting use case. So I think we just want to call it ECR.
Thank you, Stephen.
But Han's comment here has to do with a new flavor of the EICR document, which is, again, part of that niche piece.
Thank you for that clarification. So yes, we definitely need to make that revision here. Okay, excellent. So then moving on to record completeness. This was a topic that is focused on interoperability. It was not highlighted in last year's report, but it focuses on how to achieve a complete record of a patient across data sources without compromising de-identified data or privacy when that data cannot come together until after it starts to be aggregated across sources. So just wanted to open this up for discussion. I honestly do not recall some of the context of this, but it was great to see if others did.
Middell, it's Jim George, there's a lot in that sentence.
So that's because it came from Hans.
Well, what was it? Is it the focus on a complete, or is it on the minimum necessary record across data sources without compromising de-identified data? It's hard to get my head around what this actually is. Can someone? Is the emphasis on the without? I mean, there's going to be tons of people that you know complete a increasingly comprehensive record of data across, right? Health Gorilla, others. Is the focus on the de-identification?
Jim, I'm not quite sure, which is why I was hoping someone remembered this as part of the
conversation. It could be worthwhile to reach out to Hans and ask him for a little bit greater clarity on this. I don't know if the ONC team is prepared to do that. I have to admit, you know, I'm looking at this document and not remembering the discussion around a lot of these. It may just be that I'm 62 years old, but yeah, there's a lot here, and Hans is brilliant, and you know, he's hardly ever made a suggestion that didn't make sense.
I know what it is. I think I get, well, we can ask him, but this is like a fun game of what was he thinking. But to me, it looks like, you know, if I'm using de-identified data and I'm creating a data lake where I'm storing it and it's de-identified, but then it's going to then later be wedded with other data that is de-identified. How do you maintain that it's that single patient still? Yeah, we can ask him. It's probably...
Yeah, let's just put an asterisk by this, and then next time we meet, hopefully we can have a greater clarification on what was intended by this topic.
If it's what I think it is, it's pretty huge, because if you have companies now that are getting patient permission, for example, on the other side of fire, right, API is standard, then you could imagine that people's use of it when it's de-identified data and how they wed it could be an important topic. But I would think the RCE would be, well, maybe not. We'll ask him.
Yep, we'll ask him. We'll bring it back during our next meeting. Great. Next topic, we're going right on through these. Closed loop referrals. And this was, should this section be more general around integrated clinical and administrative workflows such as closed loop referral, e-prior auths, and cost transparency GFE as big use cases where it all flows together? Again, a section that was highlighted last year, but thinking about if we should kind of build upon it for this year as well.
Yeah. To me, I'll just opine. I love this one because it's an example of HITACH saying, let's focus on common use cases and closing, you know, where there's multiple different pieces involved, right? And the notion of a national infrastructure, now that we have people going to the QHINs, of actually doing comprehensive closed loop referrals that includes prior auth, it includes making sure the patient got an appointment, that appointment was completed, and that information from that appointment made it back. That sounds like it would be wonderful if we had a national referral closed loop mechanism.
It also seems like a particularly opportunity because of the initial use cases for TEFCA being, you know, treatment and patient access. And of course, treaters and patients are critical to closed loop referrals in terms of the communication. So a good one to keep on the front burner.
Agreed.
I think we all agree.
What we're going to say yes to everything.
Not yet, but well, they're all important topics. are there any revisions we would want to make to this, or does this seem pretty straightforward and on point for how we would want to approach it and bring this information into the report?
I like the wording there and how it also includes examples of, you know, closed loop referral, prior auth, and cost transparency.
Okay.
The only thing that I think, you know, sometimes when we think about closed loop referrals, we think about provider to provider referrals to the exclusion of referrals for diagnostic services. And I know in our organization, when we talk about closed loop referrals, we include, for example, you know, referrals for advanced imaging or cardiopulmonary testing or whatnot. So I don't know if we would want to just add some text. Those are referrals, including procedural. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, all the same issues of prior auth and cost transparency come into play. In fact, sometimes even more so.
I agree, Stephen. I would add it just to make sure it's not neglected.
Wonderful. Great. So we'll add some additional text to that, and we'll keep this topic. Next one is health equity. Should health equity be treated as a new target area since it involves data is best captured where it's needed and how we share it, and only the latter involves interoperability. The others concern agreement on what data. So Of course, I'm going to opine on this one right now too. The way that I feel is that health equity should always be looked upon in all of our various different target areas. However, health equity is incredibly complex. And so I do agree that this should be proposed as a new target area, predominantly because of the fact that this is dealing with standards of which we still need to finalize data collection standards. Yes, interoperability, really thinking about our AI algorithmic biases, how we analyze data and report out to federal agencies, since we now are starting to have those external accountabilities through so many different agencies, such as CMS and Joint Commission and others, of reporting out. So I do recommend and also support the idea of health equity being in a completely separate target area that can be utilized in many of these other topics as well as we proceed on.
Agreed. And didn't last year or earlier this year, I can't remember, we have a lot of different testimonies about approaches to defining and creating standards around what needs to be captured to support health equity. And would this be sort of a check-in on what progress has been made and what additional things need to be addressed by ONC?
That sounds right. I think one of the challenges with health equity, and we'll get to it again, and privacy and security, is, you know, these are critical and appropriate goals. And, you know, and the devil ends up in the details, right? We have to think about what exactly does it mean? What are we going to recommend in the space of health equity? So I think starting, as you suggested, Jim, with kind of a landscape view of where, you know, what's being done, you know, is it around SDOH? Is it around, you know, gender equity, et cetera? And where the opportunities are, I think we will need to get much more detailed.
And I agree, we need to really see what's in the overall ecosystem and what has been done, but I would also push us to be a little bit more direct as well, because we know that there's certain things that are absolutely needed at this point. And so even after we bring in what has been done, I think we can also bring into the report additional recommendations about the types of standards that are needed to continue to move this work along. And I think that we can do so even at this point.
I mean, do we think that one of the answers, for example, I'm just trying to get my head around what the scope of it is. Mm-hmm. Do we believe that, you know, a check-in on what the data sets are, data elements are, how the standards development is going, and then at some point it becoming part of a USCDI version 4 or something? Is that part of what we're thinking ONC and HITECH can help with?
Yeah, I mean, it could be USCDI, it could be, you know, certification requirements, it could be, you know, any number of things that, you know, the levers that ONC has at their disposal.
Yeah, and is there a group is there a group within ONC or HSS who's charged with organizing those efforts?
Mike, doesn't ONC have one or two leads on equity related initiatives?
Yes, they do. They have a work group at ONC that's taking a look at all sorts of health equity related issues.
Yeah, because, so, I mean, one approach might be to invite, you know, the leads of that work group, you know, to speak with us, you know, so that we can understand where, you know, where they're at and where we might be able to provide support or direction.
I agree, Stephen, because if we were to put this together, we want to know what are people thinking about people are going to do with the data, right? Like, for example, are there programs, sort of like the social determinants of health, right? So if we knew like what people were planning to do to support equity of care, then that can then help us understand from a certification and terminology standard, for example, what work we need to do, because then that's going to be absolutely necessary for some program, right?
Yeah.
And
I'm so sorry, Jim. I do want us to unpack this a little bit more, especially this topic. So we have all of the various different aspects of health equity, which absolutely deal with the standards and how to collect the data, how to analyze the data, use the data in the appropriate way in order to drive health equity. But this topic also is discussing the the proposal of making health equity its own target area as well. And for the ONC team, correct me if I'm wrong with also interpreting it this way, because that's what I'm reading from this. So we, just like we have other topic areas such as public health interoperability, et cetera, now adding health equity as a potential target area. So that's sort of item number one. But then from there, and that's going to be farther down, I believe, is some of the topics stating, okay, now we're thinking about how do we integrate health equity and having that equity lens among all of the work that we're doing in order to drive that equitable processes and care and outcomes and data analyses that we're looking for. So I think there's a couple of things in here. So I just want to make sure that we're approaching both of them in the best way possible when we're thinking about what needs to come into the report.
I'll just say, Madel, I love the way you're thinking about this and support it completely. And this is your area of deep expertise in your professional life. So yes, let's do that.
Great. But all of the conversations that you all are saying, completely agree with you. But I just, if we have them separate, I think that that's going to be a key piece of this. And so what, just as a quick recap, at least making sure if this is something we want to do to advocate for health equity, just as this is coming from Hans and Abby, to be its own separate target area, which we are allowed to do so based off of the Cures Act, which is right here in the status. So this would be a new addition to this domain. And then from there, making sure that A, we see what's currently being done, but this is also a great time to bring together all of the other work that's being done even outside of the groups that ONC has charged to ensure that we are setting up the appropriate recommendations and standards for the entire country.
Yes, to me, it seems like, you know, with the two stated priorities of public health and health equity, it would very much warrant having it be a separate stream so that it can have the focus it deserves and not have its timelines be diluted by, you know, it being diluted into broader scope.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wonderful. So we will keep this topic, but making sure that it's very clear. So we may have to change some of the language so it's really focused on the potential for that target area. And then, of course, later on down, we can talk about some of the other integrations of health equity. All right. Any other comments about this topic? Excellent. So moving on to privacy and security of data. And this was brought up of something that has not been presented in the previous report, but taking a look at, do we need to consider privacy and consent directives to support alignment of innovation and regulation of privacy and security of data at a national level? And are there various initiatives in flight? And it would be good to help to understand the recent LEAP funding and state initiatives and provide input on how, where to focus efforts to truly align beyond data segmentation flag standards.
So I think Hans captured a number of key ideas here in his suggestion, but I certainly would support this as being a major focus area.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Hear, hear.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, it sounds like we're all in agreement for that. And then the last one is patient matching. There is a lack of standards for capturing information on an identification card, such a standard for digital identity cards could help improve patient matching.
Yeah, this seems like very important.
Here again, I think Cheryl's comment is very targeted to this notion of information card data. But of course, patient matching as a general area of focus is very important. So I think in the way that we expanded our view of the ECR suggestion, I would expand our view of this one as well. Here again, there are teams at ONC that are focused on patient matching that have been advancing various pieces of that, you know, the Project USA, et cetera. and a lot of work that we've done in other work groups to support that, USCDI in particular. So I think that, again, this is a small piece, or, you know, a subset of the larger issue. So I think if we have the time, you know, to sort of get an update from the ONC team on sort of all the various projects they're working on patient matching, have they already captured this issue that Cheryl mentions, you know, and is there an opportunity for us in the report to weigh in and support of, or, you know, advancement or expansion of what they're doing? I think that's our opportunity.
I agree with that. I absolutely do. We all know the downstream negative effects of not having appropriate patient matching. And the only other thing that I was thinking of when taking a look at this is making sure that, especially when we do see the work that's being done, that we're also thinking of and incorporating the challenges of serving our most vulnerable populations, which we know that patient matching is even more challenging amongst certain populations, whether it's due to housing insecurity or other factors. So that's something that I think is going to be really important, just at least to put that lens to make sure that we are being comprehensive and equitable in our approach of patient matching.
Medell, you bring so much to this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Stephen. All right, any other comments or thoughts for patient matching? Very important topic is all of these. Well, we didn't take off anything off of this list.
Well, I'm thinking about what's not on it.
Very true. Well, let's go forward and think about that as well. I know that we have the other potential topics based on research, and that's the next portion of this document. But potentially what we can do, maybe we'll go through this section first, and then if there are any other topics that the work group is thinking of or wants us to consider, we'll open it up for that time period too. And I'm just watching the clock as well and making sure we do not run out of time. So Mike as well, please let us know when it's time to open it up also for public comment.
All right, just a couple of orienting comments or questions. One is, you know, I noticed that we got these nice comments from Hans and Abby and Cheryl, which is, you know, and Steve Eichner, you know, which were great. I noticed that the entire section on the annual report work group member comments is blank, which means that I wasn't the only one that missed the memo or didn't make the time to do this review prior. So we're all in this together. And I did want to ask a little. I see that, you know, for the whole rest of it, it's ONC/AI. I don't recall hearing about the engagement of Audacious Inquiry in the development of these next, whatever it is, four pages of suggestions. Mike or perhaps Fidel, you're up to speed on that. What was the process where AI was engaged and worked with ONC to develop all these next suggestions?
Thank you, Seema. I'm going to defer to Mike because I'm not quite sure either. So I'll defer to Mike and the ONC team.
Yeah, and Michelle Murray's the lead for this, and she can answer this question better than I. So I'll turn it over to Michelle.
Okay. Bit of hand off there, but yeah, so the Audacious Inquiry has been our contractor the last 3 years for supporting this report. They do a lot of our research. They have a team, a pretty experienced team, including a technical writer that sends me deliverables periodically that is doing the research across the entire landscape and doing their own gap analysis. They do some interviews as needed. Some of the experts you've mentioned we should reach out to. They might help me do that. And then I help shape it with our other staff at ONC, and they do some review of the deliverables that you see. So some things are flowing directly from them through this process to you. Sometimes they're just giving me research that then gets, you know, formulated into, instead of a page of research, I turn into a couple of comments for you to make it more usable in this format. So it's just a lot of flow of information back and forth. And then they get rehired for the next 3 years. So we're just getting started. And that contract only came through a couple of weeks ago. So there's a bit of a delay in getting it to you this time. We didn't really have this list till a couple of days ago. So sorry about that, Stephen. I agree. It would have been nice to have some time to look at it ahead of time. And we normally would have done that, but our just contracting didn't allow that this time. So that's what this is. The specific section that we're looking at, we did last year as well. and maybe the year before, where it's sort of looking at the last report more than anything and saying, do we want to keep this? Are there other new ideas that have bubbled up in the past year that they've been tracking for us that didn't make it into the last report? So that's why that column gets a little more important in this section about whether it was in the report last year or not. And then it's relatively short, I think a couple of pages. So it's not a ton of information. They're usually more factual than, you know, any controversial ideas. And it's been reviewed by ONC as well. So that's why it has both our names on it. Came from one body or the other, but we work together on it to produce it for you.
Thanks, Michelle. That makes a lot of sense. I'm just curious, are any of our panelists and or attendees here representing AI?
Yeah, usually most of the team is listening. I will need to check if they're on at the moment, but I believe so. So they're taking notes with me. Okay. And we meet about it every week.
I think Corey is at AI, but I don't, there are a lot of names I don't recommend. Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right.
And Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the annual report work group member comments is really a placeholder for the members' comments from today. Is that correct?
Yeah. In this case, in past years, we might have collected some more ahead of time, but this time around, yes, it'll be a place for the next iteration to capture what we comment today if it's outside the other topic areas.
Oh, good. So it doesn't mean that we all just failed to do our homework. That makes me
right. Yeah, I didn't want you to feel bad that you didn't miss anything, and we're not trying to rush you. It's just we on our side were a little late this year getting together. And also, we just weren't able to meet with Aaron and others until recently either. So it's just a number of factors, but we're off to a little bit of a late start this year, but we're catching up really quick. So I'm not worried about anything.
Thank you so much, Michelle, and thank you, Stephen, for that question as well. And so now that we have some context of behind the additional topics that are being proposed, maybe we'll go through those and then we'll come back to see, especially from the work group members, if there's any additional topics that we want to include in the annual report. So the first one that we have proposed is CMS Notice of Proposed Rulemaking for Interoperability and Prior Authorization. And so I will let you all read what that is all about, but the recommendation of the status is that HITECH could build upon the recommendations of e-prior authorization RFI Task Force 2022. So just wanted to open that up for comment. And it almost seems like it may be related to some of the things that we were also discussing previously. I'm wondering if we could combine, but interested to see what the members think.
Yeah. Hey, it's Jim Gerges here, having been on those past task force. To me, this is one that has a potential for really high impact on 21st century stated goals. Reduce provider burden, improve key interoperability, true interoperability of data. It would be another data subset, and then patient access, right? And in the past, I like this because I think where we left our hero last, if I recall, we had identified data elements, you know, the rules, the, you know, the different data elements, and we had done a grid on which data elements actually had a terminology standard, whether it was adopted or not, and then which did not. And it seemed like the next natural step before you could actually do anything regulatory, right, would be to check in on where we are with HL7 and others building out on those data element semantic and syntactic domains. Because that, if ONC, our recommendation is that HL7 and ONC need to build out some of those missing gaps. Would that be do people concur that would really be the focus? And then if so, to me, I think this is a really high opportunity that we should keep pushing the ball on, or it's going to take forever to get something that meaningfully impacts.
Great comments. Any other thoughts?
Okay. I mean, to me, the goal, the deliverable that would actually be meaningful is if we could get to the point where all the data elements were defined, they had semantic standards, we had implementation guides, standard prior APIs, and then boom, you've now created a marketplace where people can actually change prior auth workflows. But until we get the comprehensive semantic terminologies for the data elements and the exchange, it really, you know, you really can't operationalize. Stephen,
Sorry, Jim, was there a question there for me?
Yeah, I was just getting people's reaction to my comments and whether you share the same view of where we are with it and why it's important.
Yeah, I support your comments.
So Jim, quick question, and I would love to also hear Brett's thoughts as well, but quick question for you. In terms of highlighting this important topic in the report, what are some of your thoughts of how we can sort of reinforce the importance of it and make sure that we're bringing those elements into the report to continue to drive this work?
I mean, to me, it's really around, for ONC and HITACH, it would be around the data elements, data sets, and standards for interoperability. And to me, it would be the focus of the next work group would be to check in on where we are with closing those gaps.
Okay.
Like, for example, but we're not talking about necessarily recommending another work group, are we, Jim? Or is it more within the report, taking the opportunity to review and provide an update?
Yeah, you're right, because it's the annual report.
Yeah.
I think they were talking about another work group, I thought, at the end of the year.
Okay.
I don't know, Mike Berry, if that's been, you know, is that still the plan?
Oh, sorry, Jim. I didn't hear the full question. Could you repeat it?
Yeah, I thought the question was about the status of the prior auth work and whether there's an anticipated upcoming work group that's going to be formed around prior auth.
Not this year that I'm aware of. Maybe next year. I haven't heard any updates from this year's task force yet.
Okay, so what we'll do is this is another important topic, and we'll move that on up to the topics list. Brett, any thoughts about this before we move on as well?
No, nothing different than what's been said. I agree with the significance of the topic, and I think the workers' suggestion could be just getting an update on where we are.
Great, thank you. All right, we will continue on to the CARES Act changes to 42 CFR Part 2. And this was also recommended in terms of that HITACH could consider policy and technical issues around managing substance use disorder records. Let's open it on up. All of these topics have not been discussed in the prior fiscal year 21 report. So any thoughts about this?
I mean, it seems like an important opportunity. It's not something that we really weighed in too much on or discussed much at HITACH. I mean, it always comes up, but there's this special data. I mean, I think it goes along, it touches at least on our prior discussion about highly sensitive data and protecting its privacy as it moves around the system. I think this is important. It's something that I feel like I could personally be more well-educated on, you know, as a HITACH member. It'd be great to see it as a focus in the future.
And Stephen, we heard a slight echo from you as well, especially at the end of your comments.
I can go back to my prior audio solution.
But what we did hear is that, yes, this is something that you think is also very important and for us to just learn or dive a little bit deeper into.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or thoughts, especially in terms of prioritizing it for this year?
As we've said, we're not striking a lot from this list. You know, mostly we're expanding on the items here.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just need to acknowledge we're going to have our work cut out for us. This is going to be a long and meaty report. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we have Michelle and Mike and others to help us flesh it out.
Yes.
And AI, that's right. We've got AI on board too.
Well, wonderful. So we will, it sounds like there's no objections at this point in terms of continuing on with the CARES Act changes. Now, these next two, I'm wondering if we can also combine them with some of the previous topics. So the first one is public health data systems with interoperability. and underneath the area of use of technology support public health. And this seems like it's very much related to some of our discussions about the importance of our public health systems and the interoperability with other provider systems in order to support the care and the monitoring surveillance that we need to do. And so just want to open it up. That's how I interpreted this, of a way that we can potentially combine and consolidate some of these topics, but wanted to see what others thought about that.
No, I totally agree. I mean, these seem like duplicative with the discussions, or additive, I should say, to the discussions we had earlier, and they should be collapsed into single rows.
Absolutely. And the next one, in terms of increased health equity across populations, locations, and situations, this is just focusing on one element of data collection. But as we previously discussed with health equity, especially as it becomes a target area in itself, data collection and the standards associated with data collection is one of many different areas of thinking about how health equity needs to be integrated into our systems. But this also seems like that can be collapsed into some of the true work that we're going to be looking at in terms of looking at the standards, but it can still be consolidated with that other topic in itself. Any additional thoughts about that?
My only other thought, Modell, is that, you know, so much has been said about the challenges of collecting SDOH and equity related data in as part of the care process, that, you know, that organizations, you know, see that as an added burden that that they don't know how they're going to really wrap their heads around, you know, kind of like when we were trying to get, you know, added SDOH data related to lab testing data in the early days of the pandemic, you know, and get that incorporated into ELR. And I think that as when we come back to this topic and dive into it, we should also think about the combination of different data sets, that in a sense that some of this health equity related data is really going to come more from combining data sets in a way that respects privacy, as opposed to necessarily adding a new process or system for collecting data that already exists in other places. So just, you know, an idea that I've been looking at in other contexts. We should just put a placeholder there to think about that.
I love that idea as well. And you're absolutely correct, because we have our systems are so disparate, and we are collecting different forms of data and different systems. And that's been part of the challenge of, one, not for those systems not to communicate, and number two, not being duplicative in our efforts as well. So really thinking about those mechanisms, as you mentioned, so that we're not building new things, but we're making sure that the systems can be reviewed comprehensively together. And that's really a critical need that we have across the board. So, you know, so there's only one other idea that we could potentially do. So for instance, the previous topic that was mentioned was really about the applicable target area, and really proposing that as a new target area. One idea is that we could keep this topic as its own separate of almost data collection, and I wouldn't want to say consolidation because it's a little bit different than consolidation of what you're mentioning, Stephen, but this could be its own separate topic. But of course, the change of the target areas, it would be interoperability, but it would also be the new health equity target area as well. So we can also just keep them separate, so not to dilute the focus of what these two entities are, because they are separate that we're discussing right now. Any feelings one way or the other from the work group members of putting them all together or just keeping them separate?
Well, I think combining things into large topics, you know, that then have sort of subtopics underneath them leads to a comprehensible report. I don't think we want to be too granular, you know, have some big sections.
Okay. Great. All right. Any other thoughts about these two, public health data systems and the health equity across populations? Excellent. And the last two are cybersecurity events across healthcare infrastructure. And so looking directly at how we can continue to see the growth of the number of cybersecurity events during which patient information is at risk, and just trying to make sure that we're highlighting the importance of this topic. So any thoughts or recommendations?
Again, I think both of these last two items are critical, you know, high priority issues. You know, it does make sense for us to include them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I also like separating privacy and security, and focusing on them independently, because they really do have different characteristics and issues. And I think when you lump them together, you sometimes lose some of the richness of each.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that a predefined target area where it's defined as privacy and security, or did we just put that on this document? That may be a question for
Michelle. Yeah, that's a good point. Good question. Yeah, because when I see them lumped in that third column, I think we lose something by combining them, and they're lumped further up in the column also.
In that case, I'll need to go back to the Cures Act language to double check if we can split them. I think they were kind of grouped together in that language, and we tried to stay close to that in the first days of this reporting. And there are three main target areas that were defined as required in this report. And then there's a list of supplemental target areas. The language gets really legalistic, and we've done some analysis with lawyers on what can be included as a target area and what can't be. But I can come back to this group if you want to take a second look, you know, since it's been a while, and see if there are other things to pull out of this alternative list. And then there's a temporary list you're allowed to use, but we have to go to Congress to at least inform them that we're going outside the list of things that they proposed or listed for us. And if that makes sense to people.
Well, it does, but I don't think we're talking about coloring outside the lines so much as sort of as we attack or tackle the target area of privacy and security, that we have subsections on privacy and on security. I think you're right. As I recall back in the early days of the ONC dealing with the Cures Act, the privacy and security were lumped. And I think that, you know, I've been there myself. It's in my title. but I do think that separating them allows you to focus more on the relevant issues and not confuse people.
Even to your point, though, the third column is the issue, right? Even if we had to keep it as privacy and security lumped for some terminology to not create a kerfluffle, it doesn't mean that each row couldn't focus on what you like. For example, there could be a row that focuses on security so that it doesn't get diluted. The work itself in each row could focus on one or the other, even though it's categorized under the lump.
Agree. And maybe that's where we are, and we're just wrapping our heads around it.
Yeah. It seems like it would invite asking to do something off the, it seems like it's not necessary, but anyway.
Great, wonderful. And then cost transparency, as we mentioned, looks like this is a really good topic to include. Any concerns about including cost transparency in the annual report?
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Hot topic.
So we have actually included just about every topic we've been able
we
to
collapsed take. A couple
we did collapse a couple, but we didn't exclude them, so we made some progress
and expanded some others, so we're a net neutral, I think.
Yes, we are. But now this is the time, especially for the work group members, are there any other topics that we think are pressing in order to that we must look at including in this upcoming year's annual report?
Can I ask about one, just, and this is just to get Stephen, your and others take on whether this makes sense. So where we want to move in the future, like for example around referral management, closed loop, etc., is increasingly communicating across the continuum, right? And so one question I have is, you know, if we're trying to do closed loop referral or something, I know there was a lot of work to take, identify physician and entities HISP addresses, right? And I know there's the wall of shame, but I'm wondering if we've moved far enough in having national access to people's, you know, communication addresses. And if there's any work for ONC and therefore HITECH to look at in anticipation of, you know, communication tools and collaborations. You know, right now, if I were to try to find your HISP address, some of it has to do with, there is not like a national directory that's easy to find that's comprehensive, is my understanding. What's the group's thought? Because that might be an opportunity if there's further work to be done.
And I think when you say HISP address, you mean, you know, address for direct secure messaging.
Just even broader, that what is the infrastructure to make sure it's really easy with no special effort to communicate with a doctor in Ohio when they're when the patient's vacationing down here? How easy is it for me to go to a lookup and identify for purposes of communication? Like, I don't know. I know part of it was requiring physicians to publish to the national site what their direct address is, for example. But really, it was one of the least effective models. Well, the penalty will just be shaming, right? That people will see that you're not in the directory, right? And so I'm just wondering if there's any work to do there on HITECH's behalf to see where we are with an easily accessible, comprehensive national directory.
I think that's going to be true as we see TEFCA spin up as well, right? I mean, you need to know, as you're calling it, the HISP address for direct messaging. You're going to also need to know, you know, how to locate people, you know, under the Trust right. Exchange framework through their QHIN.
And I'm saying that this may be something we recommend because it'll be foundational for a variety of future use cases that support the information following the patient wherever they go. Mm-hmm. And because it may be more than just CCDs, it may be, you know, other types of communication around referrals. And so that'd be the only suggestion for me is there a, should something like that be on the list?
A directory management. And I don't really see it as a topic, even in the long list from AI.
Exactly.
You know, Corey, if you want to throw a comment in, is this something that you guys have talked about?
And Jim, while we're thinking about this too, I was looking at this from also a different perspective as well. And we have it from, of course, ensuring that we have the appropriate secured communication referral processes. But I was also looking at this from, and I don't know the work that we've done on this since I'm still one of the newer members to HITECH, is even some of the various different forms of communications between patients and their providers. We know that we have the standard patient portals, but there's some new, more innovative solutions that are coming out that are trying to also continue to enhance some of that various different communication between patients and providers. And I don't know if that is something that we have discussed and how that is going to be regulated appropriately, but that is, as we're moving more towards patient ownership of their data and having greater kind of communication directly with their physicians and other healthcare professionals. And I can tell you even some of my work that I do of just even providers to providers that are not in the same system, but it's not a referral process, but let's say it's secured text messaging, what some of those standards are and what we're doing around those areas. So I think that it sounds like from what you and Stephen are saying, there's a lot of amount of work on that, but I'm also thinking about some of the other kind of case studies and case uses that are still part of that, but are a little bit more patient focused, but then also provider to provider focused purely on communication of PHI in multiple areas. That may have just blown up that topic a little bit more.
I was just saying that if we're going to advise us looking forward to the future, but okay, with what is in place now and with what we think is coming, are there any national capabilities, data sets that need semantic terminologies, interfaces that need to be defined national? What are some of the foundational pieces that we in HITECH should recommend ONC tackle? Because we know over the next 2 to 5 years, it'll be a necessary component for something. And that's why I brought up the, what is it hard to find? Well, what's the address for somebody you want to communicate with? The other one that comes up that we've talked about in the past is the right size CCD, the segmented. Mm-hmm. And maybe others on the call know more than I do, but you know, we had talked about right now, the exchange of CCD, you know, often is everything, right? You know, somebody asks because they have an ingrown toenail and they get a CCD that tells them the herpes status, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason I bring this up is because the standards for how to support the minimum necessary instead of everything, I don't know that I know where we are in that work, right? Because that might imply EHRs to do something different because they'd have to build the capability for somebody to define a subset of what is in the CCD, for example, for a particular purpose, and just send that. Mm-hmm. Is that an area that ONC could weigh in? Because that might require design requirements for certification that would support workflows that minimize oversharing of info.
Right.
That'd be the second topic I'd bring up to the group for consideration.
So Jim, exactly what you just mentioned, the second topic is what I was hitting on. I'm going to give you a quick case scenario. So I support that as well. So thank you, Stephen, for the directory topic. But I will tell you that I helped to oversee a new innovative model that is providing homeless healthcare to various different individuals here within Los Angeles County. But as we have multiple providers and systems and clinics that are serving the same very hard to reach population, we're actually in the process of thinking about how to develop the best information exchange, both for instance, secure text messaging, but then also, as you mentioned, more of the clinical data and the clinical documents, which is not what we call the full bloated CCD, which you don't really need that information at all. What you clearly just need is some key elements of that record in order to ensure that you're providing the most comprehensive, most relevant care at that time, but not, as you mentioned, every single thing about their ingrown toenails are all about their hospitalizations 10 years ago. So I do like that idea because as we are trying to improve our care coordination and our exchange of relevant healthcare data and communication, that would be something really interesting to see where we are, because that is, I think, where many of our various different provider organizations and public health organizations are trying to move towards, so that we're not in this note bloat type situation that we've been in for so long. And we do have those minimum standards and recommendations for having a secured exchange of information. And I would actually probably even CCD, yes, but maybe even a little bit more than the CCD as well. And so
yeah, I got
also
the term also, go ahead.
Sorry. You know, I was saying also in terms of just for whatever we need to do for the exchange of both clinical documentation, referrals, as well as direct provider to provider communication.
Well, I agree, because there'll be a variety of ways people will want to segment, right? Mm-hmm. One will be to prevent privacy and enable the privacy component of HIPAA. Right now, nothing enables that. Everything is shared, right? But the other use cases, for example, Stephen, if you and I are referring somebody to a surgeon, you know, sure, they can get the whole tome, but, you know, being able to define out, like, I want the op note, you know, the problem list, meds, allergies, last op note, any imaging and path, right? So you and I are referring to a surgeon, our ability in the MR to select the documents that are relevant and have that be passed to the next practice in a more concentrated CCD. You know, it seems like the ability to create for the EMRs and other modalities that deliver this information to select the subset is what we're talking about, right? And those certification standards could be applied across multiple EHR tools.
Right.
Referral closed loop management. I might want to send a subset of info, you know, maybe our CCDs, et cetera.
Isn't that what FHIR is going to allow us to do?
So that would mean that we would have a work group maybe entitled right-sized information sharing to support, you know, minimally necessary requirements for HIPAA or something.
I think that would be appropriate. Definitely having more of a generalized approach.
It's not just HIPAA, though. I mean, there's use cases, like I mentioned. So HIPAA is the big one. We can't actually respect HIPAA right now with our the way our EMRs are designed for automated CCD sharing.
Right.
But there are more than just HIPAA reasons. So anyway.
Correct. Okay, great. Great topics. Any additional topics that we need to consider adding to our highly comprehensive annual report we will have this year?
It won't be the first year.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest we add world hunger, solving world hunger as a row while we're at.
I think we can tackle that as well. That won't be a problem.
I thought that Elon Musk with $6 billion could solve it.
Well, something still that we have to work hard at, and that is still all of our responsibility. Can't rely on just one person. So wonderful. So this has been a great, wonderful conversation and discussion around all of these topics and the addition of a couple of topics as well. And so what we can do now is flip back to our prior setup slide so we can just make sure we're going through the rest of our agenda and accomplishing all that we set out to do during this meeting.
Nice job.
Thank you. And so it seems like what we'll do now, if there's, before we go into public comment, just to verify, are there any other questions or comments that we need to discuss before we go on to the next section? So we will take these topics. Our next meeting, we're going to start to crosswalk them, and that will be the basis of our upcoming meeting. So I'm just wanted to pause and see if there's any other items that we need to address before we go to public comment.
Yeah, one quick question, and maybe it's for Mike Berry or others. My understanding that there was a recent communication that there's an upcoming, is it CMS rule or ONC rule around prior auth that's anticipated the latter half of this year. I wonder if one of the rows where we talked about prior auth needs to be informed by what's going to be in that. Do you know much about that, Mike?
I know that part of the high tax work plan was to examine the NPRM that was listed in the Unified Agenda. And I know there were several areas in the rule. I believe e-prior auth was one of them. And so I know the high tax will, you know, of course, be forming a task force when that rule comes out to, you know, provide comments on that rule.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Okay. But we don't know when that'll be. I heard it was third quarter or something like that.
Yeah, I think the Unified Agenda mentioned October, but that was the best estimate at the time of printing. Subject to change.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any other questions or comments?
I just added a comment in the chat, sort of piling on to Jim's suggestion for the section on appropriate data sharing limits.
Wonderful. Thank you, Stephen. Great. Well, I think we will proceed on to our public comment section.
Okay, great. So we're going to open up our meeting for public comments. If you are on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand. And when it's called upon, press *6. Mute and unmute your line. So let's pause to see if anyone raises their hand. Not seeing any hands raised, Nadell, so I'll turn it back to you.
Well, can I just invite Corey or anyone else from AI to jump in and give us a pat on the back or a change in direction or anything? You guys have been pretty involved in getting us to this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it would be appropriate for Corey to comment as a ONC contractor, since this comment will be made part of the public record.
Okay, that's fair. I just want to make sure they feel included and appreciated for their work.
I'm sure they do, and they'll be on every call, I'm sure.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you all again so much for all of your comments and your work in order to get us to this point. And appreciate all of the members with the great extensive discussion on each one of the topics. And so what we will do is that we will continue to convene during our next scheduled time, and we'll continue to make sure that we are crosswalking each one of these topics in preparation for our initial draft to go to the HITAC. So thank you all again for attending today's meeting, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Madel. Great job chairing.
Thank you. Appreciate it.